Doing the STEP program, we have to structure our sermons in a certain way. And I need an opening to really get your attention. I decided not to do it because I was going to set off alarms. And I didn't know what would happen if all these alarms went off. I would get your attention, but I'm not sure if everybody start heading for the doors or start looking around. So I'm going to start it off this way. Bombardment. How many of us today are bombarded with images, with phone calls, with works, with worries? Things are just constantly hitting us, whether it's at our place of employment, whether it's on our technology, on our phones, our iPads, our computers. We are constantly being bombarded. You might be reading a nice article on the computer, and all of a sudden an ad flies across, hitting you with something. Like, what the world? You are bombarded, and sometimes you just say to yourself, I just want to be left alone. We're supposed to pick a single phrase. And the single phrase I chose for my sermon is, watch with me. As I read that passage about Jesus in the garden, that jumped out to me. Watch with me. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said to his disciples, I can get away from that thing. That's all right. He said to his disciples, I want you to come with me and watch with me. And he said to a group of them, stay here, and you three, come a little further with me. And says, watch with me and pray. And then Jesus went off a little further, and what does it say he did? He went off a little further, and what? He prayed to his Father. What else did he do? He fell to the ground and fell on his face. Something's going on. Jesus fell to his face. When I was looking for a piece of art for this, there's a lot of them that shows him praying, you know, light shining down, a very beautiful scene. But I think this captures better what Jesus was experiencing. It was a great sorrow. The other Gospels tell us that he was in agony. It said that an angel appeared to strengthen him at this time. It said that sweat was dropping like drops of blood to the ground. And he's praying, Father, Abba, Papa, if it's possible, if you're willing, let this cup pass from me. And it's at this that Jesus invited the others, watch with me, pray with me. That watching is a guarding, preparing yourself. And Jesus wanted them to be there. And when he went to see where they were at and what they were doing, what were they doing? Sleeping. Why do you think Jesus was a little upset that they were sleeping? Just at the Last Supper, he had told them, you are going to be scattered. He talked to them about the shepherd being taken and the sheep scattered to watch and pray. And here they're sleeping. But Jesus is in agony, and he wanted somebody with him to pray with him. When Judas went out to betray him, that was like pulling the one stone that causes a trickle of other stones, and then bigger stones. Things were going to start to happen, and Jesus knew what was going to happen, and he was in agony over that. So he had asked his disciples, watch with me. In his agony, I think part of it was this verse. Jesus had scriptures in his heart. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. When he was there in the garden in agony, this was his, the scripture was passing through his mind. I have to love him with my strength. I have to walk with the people that are coming to arrest me. I have to do this. God wants me. It is his will that I go through the things that are going to happen to me. And maybe this passage was also going through his mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. He was going to the cross for you and you and you and all of you. And this agony, this what he was going to experience, was great. It's that humanness of Jesus we can see in this one point here. And perhaps these scriptures, I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I will do the will of my Father. I love the people that God wants me to save. Proverbs 4:23, this verse had been popping up for several weeks. I mean, it was amazing. Different places, all this about guarding our hearts, watching, guarding, protecting. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. It's a good verse. That's from the Old Testament. From the New Testament, we see, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's an interesting thing that happens, but before I get there, we're going to go here. Just a few fun facts about the heart. Dr. Moeller, are you here? Yes, he is. Okay. You can talk to me afterward if I stray from medical truth. All right, the human heart. Make a fist. That is about the size of the heart that is inside your chest. It weighs about, was it 1 pound? Is it 1 pound, Harold? I don't have this one written down. I'm thinking of the brain right now. No more than a pound. Okay. It beats 115,000 times a day. Anybody here tired of thinking and making sure your heart's beating all day? No, it does it by itself. It's amazing. The heart pumps an equivalent of 2,000 gallons of blood a day. And 60,000 miles of blood vessels are running through your body. That's a lot. So I'm trusting the computer had these information right. I didn't dissect myself to measure it. But the heart's an amazing thing. Is God telling us to guard this organ? How about the brain, the mind? Weighs about 3 pounds. It's made 75% of water. There are 100 billion neurons in your brain, with trillions of connections, and those connections are what help you to remember things. So you always want to make sure you're exercising your mind with puzzles and games and doing new things, especially to keep those synapses going, because you can develop new synapses. And the brain also takes 20% of your body's oxygen intake. That was kind of cool. And the last thing, your brain's mostly fat. So if you need a little fat, it is important that you have a little fat in your brain. All right, and there's the brain. I didn't get clicking there. I got going. All right. So we have this battle that we're in, and we have our brain, and we have a heart, but the Bible also says we have armor. I showed this video because when the Bible's talking about our heart, it's not talking about the organ. When it's talking about the mind, it's not talking about the organ inside of our head. And the armor of the Spirit, we're not supposed to put on this armor and walk around all the time. It's spiritual. And it says that everything flows from the heart. And it's the same thing with the mind. Everything flows from the mind. Here's a picture of the heart with the vessels. And where do they go? They flow out throughout your entire body to feed that oxygenated blood. And the same with the brain. It has those, the nervous system that actually reaches out to send signals throughout your entire body. It flows out from there. That verse, guard your heart, where everything flows from there. Look, the next verse after that says, keep your mouth, for everything flows out of the heart. Keep your mouth from perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Give careful thought to your paths, where your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. From the heart and head, it goes out to the mouth, to the eyes, to the feet, to our walk. It's important that we guard that. You know, we guard things that we want to keep safe. And I'll tell you a story. When our middle daughter, Deanna, was about 2 years old, I did not guard her very well. I thought I was being a kind dad. I'm not going to put you in your car seat. And it was from Don and Joe's house, maybe a mile and a half away, maybe less than that. And we were coming home, and I told her to sit in the back. We went around the corner onto our street. She pulled the door open, fell out of the car. What changes would there be in my life if something happened? Because I wasn't on guard. I thought I'd be nice. It's okay. Let my guard down a little bit. We're not that far from home. We need to be diligent and vigilant on those things. A lot of you people have seen my grandchildren. If anything happened to her, they wouldn't be here. It's important to guard our hearts because it has to deal with our mouths, our eyes, and our feet. The Old Testament heart and the New Testament heart and mind, I'm not going to go into all the differences between the two covenants and how they express it, but I just want you to get an idea of what the heart and mind is. When the Bible talks about the heart and about the mind, it's talking about where they believed all these different processes took place, and they called it the heart in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, it's divided up into the heart and into the mind. Our desires, our affections, our thoughts, our understandings, our reasonings, our imaginations, our intentions, our decision-makings, our emotions, our feelings, our morality, our memory, our discernment, our motivations. Think back to where Jesus was in the garden, throwing himself down. What was he struggling with? The sources of the will, the mental processes, the motion. Not my will, not my reasoning, not my thoughts, not my desires, not my affections. He was in battle at that moment. And he won the victory when he said, "Not my will, but yours be done." So, if we have a guard duty, that means there must be an enemy out there. And unfortunately, we have several. And I'm not going to go into detail in all these different things, but the sinful world. 1 John warns us to watch out for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You can see physical pleasures, craving for all that we see, achievements, possessions. We need to be on guard. The flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. A lot of words dealing with conflict. Another enemy is the devil. You've heard those, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil is a liar and a murderer. We need to be on guard for his lies in our lives. You're not worthy. You're no good. Ask yourself, what does God say about it? You need to get into the Word. Also call him the thief who steals, kill, and destroy. Is something trying to steal, kill, or destroy the joy that God wants to give you in Jesus? Watch out. Be on guard. The devil is also called a roaring lion. Peter says, be alert. Not sleeping. Be sober. When you're drunk, you don't make good decisions. So we need to be sober about what we're seeing, what we're being bombarded with our senses. We need to be sober and take them in correctly. When you're watching TV and something pops on the screen, how does that affect you? Are you on guard? When you're on Facebook, I've been on Facebook, you scroll through and all these different posts pop up and stuff. What is that doing to your heart? Because there's a lot of messages out there that are coming across to us. We need to be on guard. It says he's like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So our post, we have to be at a post. And that's our mind, which I'm saying, as we work, as we go about life, as we pursue hobbies and interests, we need to keep guard of our mind. What is coming into it? What influences are passing through the eyes, the ears? And our orders, are to guard what comes in and out. And that's a whole nother sermon right there. Because we have all these influences coming from the outside trying to get in, but we also have to guard what is on the inside, which is not godly, trying to get out. And that's a whole nother subject. Our weapons, the sword of the Spirit, prayer, and the presence of God. There was something I had never known. This was new to me just a few, 2 weeks ago, I think it was. From Deuteronomy, when the king takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of the law. What would you say if, now that you're a Christian, you need to make a copy for yourself of the Bible? That seemed like a daunting task. They had 5 books. How many books do we have? 66. You could be a little louder. He's to write for himself a copy of the law taken from the Levitical priest. It's to be with him. He writes it, and he's to keep it with him. And he is to read it all the days of his life. Isn't that cool? I actually found this to be a challenge, to maybe take one book of the Bible and to write it out. And maybe do some pictures around it too. He's to read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and this decrees. This book is to become a part of his life. How more personalized can you get than writing your own copy? How diligent are you to make sure you get every word in there? There's no way you can say, well, I didn't know that. Well, if you wrote it out, yeah, you did know it. David says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And that is not the right reference there. I was duplicating slides. But that is from Psalm 119, which is a great psalm. If you ever want to do a devotional sometime, take one of the sections of Psalm 119 a day and meditate on it. It's all the alphabet of Psalm 119. It's all the alphabet of the Hebrew. And focus on one. When Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, what did he say over and over again? He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. That's a part of our guarding. It is written. We go back to that sword that we have. We go back to God's word. And Jesus in the garden, watch with me. I am sure the word was going through his mind at that time. Watch with me. There's a Latin phrase called coram Deo. And I'm kind of interested in phrases like these. You know, there's like carpe diem and all this kind of stuff. But this is a good one. And this phrase has the idea to live your life continually in the presence of God, under the authority of God, and to the glory of God. Doesn't that sound like a great way to live? I think it does. Now, watch with me. One person is saying to another, watch with me. Jesus said that to his disciples. We can also say that to God as we are on guard duty. Psalm 119, 100. I have refrained my feet from evil because I keep thy precepts. That's David speaking. But then down below, David offers a prayer to God. He says, order my steps in thy word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. David's saying to God, watch with me. When you're on guard duty, you're not alone. You're in the presence of God. Psalm 119, 100 there. I will take heed to my ways that I will not sin with my tongue. Keeping a watch over our tongue. And what does he say in verse 133? Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. It's that watch with me. God is with me as I am on guard. I am saying to God, watch with me, Lord. But God is also saying, as he's there, you watch with me too. You be on guard. Don't fall asleep. Don't let me take care of all this. But I have a part to do in it as well. I will set no wicked or worthless things before my eyes. Psalm 103:3. Now we're guarding our eyes. Job says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully. And I put a dot, dot, dot there because I know one time I was talking with Dawn. Dawn says, the women at work are just as bad as men. So you ladies can make a covenant with your eyes as well to be on guard. And the prayer says, Lord, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. On guard, watching our mouth, watching our eyes. You know, there was an old song that kids know. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father is there, and we need to be on guard with him. And from Philippians, let's read this together. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. That's one of the reasons we need to be in the Word. So we know what we are able to do. We know what Jesus has provided for us. We know what we have to be on the guard for. So I encourage you, as you look into the Word, write these things down. Make a little note, take a little notebook, and just write down these little words that the Spirit may speak to you. And the rest of that verse, let's read that together. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honest or noble, whatever is just and right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything that is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, I thought about asking somebody to do something here. And, you know, I could pick anybody out there. And I would say, I would like you to read the verse John 3:16. And at the same time, I want you to add 836 to 1,324. But don't stop. Do it at the same time. Anybody here think they could actually do both? Something I came across. You can't have two thoughts going at the same time. So if you're like me and these strange thoughts bounce into your head, it's easy. Switch it. If there's lies, Satan's lies coming through your minds, switch it. Be on guard. Be alert. You know, you can't think the same thing, two things at the same time. I just thought that was a real blessing. So if you see you're thinking the wrong way, stop it. Switch it. Change it to what's honest, true, pure, noble, admirable, excellent. That's pretty easy. Sometimes I catch myself at work, you know. You're going through work and something doesn't go right and you're like, get all upset and like, God is good all the time. And all the time God is good. Switch it. You know, Lord, help me to do this better. You know, be in his presence. He's walking there right beside you. It's awesome. Oh, look, we're at the end. I'll tell you what, I had so many papers where I could just keep on going. And one of the books we read in STEP says, save it for later. Save it for later. People are hungry. They want to go home. They want to have lunch. I remember this one man, right before lunch, he was asked to pray, and he said, blessed is he whose prayer is short, for he shall be asked to pray again. So anyway, there's a lot we can talk about another time, about the character of the guards. What is our character supposed to like? What kind of person are we supposed to be as we stand watch at these gates? And those gates, what are those gates? What are those entrance ways and exit ways that we need to keep watch on? And verifying ID. Usually at a guard station, you need to prove who you are and what you're there to do. Friend or foe? I think that's my last slide. Amen. Did you learn something today? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up our hearts and our minds to you. You've given us your word to read so we have the knowledge of what we need to do as one of your servants in your kingdom. We are under your authority. We are in your presence, and we want to do all to your glory, Lord. We thank you for Jesus who provided the way. We thank you for his continual presence where he said, I will be with you always, no matter what situation we're in, Lord. Jesus is there by us to guard our hearts and our minds. His Holy Spirit is there to remind us of your word. Lord God, we thank you for all things that you provided for us in Christ to follow your will and to do your work in this world. And everyone together said, Amen. Amen.